We're glad you're with us. We're glad you can come and join us for this morning's service. And we hope that you get a blessing from the Word of God. It's always been said, no doubt, if you anticipate a blessing, if you came to say, God, I'm here to hear from you, then there's no doubt you will get a blessing, because God always blesses, amen. When His Word is open, He pours out a blessing. So if you found your place in Luke chapter 11, please be upstanding if you're able to stand. Luke chapter 11. Appreciate the ones that have labored in the song and specials and different things. God bless you, and God bless your labor for Him and for the saints. Luke chapter 11, beginning from verse 1, the Bible says, "And it came to pass that as he, Jesus, was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Father in heaven, Lord God, we come before you now and we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for the scripture and the portion of scripture which we just read. We pray, dear God, that you'd bless it to our hearts this morning. I pray, Father, that you'd help us understand what it means to pray and the importance of the model prayer which you taught your disciples. Pray that you'd speak to our hearts. Pray that you'd simply remove any distractions, Father, as we've always prayed. There are different things, Father, in our lives that can hinder the word. And I just pray, Father, that you remove those cares and these worries and these burdens, and that the word of God may take free course in all our hearts this morning. Pray, Father, with every decision made, you'll be glorified and honored. And Father, if there's anyone here this morning that doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, I do ask and pray for them, that you'd give them the understanding of the gospel. I pray, Father, that they'll heed what they hear, they'll be challenged, and they'll receive you as their own personal Savior. Father, bless your word to our hearts this morning. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Heard a story about a fisherman that was lost in sea with his godless companions when a storm came and threatened to sink the ship. His friends that were ungodly said to this man, he said, look, would you pray to your God to get us out of the circumstance? The man looked at them. He said, I hadn't prayed or hadn't even, been in a church for 15 years. And so soon they persisted. And after they persisted, however, he finally went down before God and he said, oh God, I know it's been a while since I've prayed. But I promise you, Lord, if you get us out of this mess and land us safely to shore, I won't bother you for another 15 years. Unfortunately, many people view prayer as an escape mechanism rather than a consistent communication to God. On the other hand, however, D.L. Moody said, some people think God does not like to be troubled with our constant coming and asking. And he said, he goes on to say, the way you trouble God is not coming to him at all. And Martin Luther said, as it is a business of tailors to make clothes and cobblers to mend shoes, so is the business to every Christian to pray. And we thank God that God has given us an opportunity for every single one of us to come before Him and pray, to communicate to God. We see in the passage of Scripture, the disciples waited till Jesus had finished His prayer and had asked Him to teach them to pray. Now, what a wonderful thing that is. They didn't ask that they'll be taught to preach, but they asked that they'll be taught to pray. Amen? And so they come to Jesus and they ask Him, teach us to pray. And you say, well, it's amazing to see that these kind of disciples would ask Jesus this. And I remember when I was saved, I didn't really know how to pray to God. My religious tradition would teach me how to repetitive prayer, the Our Father, over and over again with no meaning. It would be almost like a repetitive, vain repetition kind of prayer. I was encouraged to pray that way. And when I was saved, the first prayer that I ever communicated to God was the prayer, when I was saved. I just called out to God. I communicated to God, but I had remained with this pattern of praying and doing certain rituals before praying, like the sign of the cross and different things like that, and would bow my head and would continue to pray these repetition prayer, but this time it would be in such a way where I'd take my time to think about what I was praying. But what we're going to see in the scriptures here wasn't a prayer for you and I to continue to repeat time and time again. When he taught the disciples to pray, it was a prayer that would be modeled. In other words, the disciples would think, well, this is Jesus Christ going to his usual place to pray, and sometimes for hours. How can he pray for hours and be consistent and be in his place? So they wanted to know, Lord, teach us to pray. And so can you imagine if all it was this prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If it was just this modeled prayer that we'd pray, we'd finish it in like 10 seconds. But this modeled prayer wasn't for the fact of repeating it. It was for the fact of to whom we have to pray to and what to pray for. It was a modeled prayer that would see what kind of things that the Lord will have us to pray put before the Lord. And we're going to see those things tonight. But what I want to show you this morning is to whom we pray to. And like I said, it's not something that we repeat time and time again. I heard about a story about a little girl that was learning the alphabet, and she kept on repeating time and time the letters of the alphabet. And then one day she went to God in prayer, and she was just reviewing them and going through the alphabet to God. A, B, C, D, with her hands clinging together, her eyes closed. One day her missionary said, what are you doing? She said, well, I'm praying. He says, well, what are you praying the alphabet for? She goes, well, I don't really know how to pray, so I just figured that if I say the alphabet that I'm learning, God can put the words together for me. But what a wonderful thing it is that we can be taught this morning to know what to pray for, but to whom we pray for. In the first instance, he says, this is how you pray, our Father. We are in God's presence. And we can cry out, our Father. We're addressing the Father. This is our position in Christ, by the way. We are adopted as God's children. Amen? This is our position. Anyone that is in Christ is not only a new creature, but is adopted into God's family. And you and I can address God as our Father. Now, that's a beautiful thought. That we can come before God and call him Father. Turn to Galatians chapter 4, if you would. Leave your finger there, but turn to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. Notice what the Bible says there, beginning from verse 4. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we may receive the adoptions of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, note it now, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore now thou art no more a what? A servant, but a son. And if a son, then heir of God through Christ. What a position that we have now as believers in Christ, that we have this privilege to say, Abba, Daddy, Father. Notice that word, oh, Father. I always like the O's before, you know, the addressing God, because that O shows a bit of affection and heart in the prayer. So it wasn't just, oh, Father. It was, oh, Father. Dressing God with a passionate way, knowing who you are in Christ. You are the child of God here on earth, and he is the Father in heaven. And that we can address him as Daddy. We can come to him as our Heavenly Father. And we can ask of him whatever we want. Now let me say this. Are you someone that can confidently say with boldness, he's my Father? Are you someone in this room that can say, yes, I can say he's my dad. I talk to him. He talks to me. We have a fine relationship. We communicate well. Are you here someone that treats God almost like vain repetition prayers? In other words, you pray, but you don't even know him. You pray and you think you know who you're talking to, but you don't, because there's no constant communication. There's no father-son relationship. I lived like that for 24 years of my life. I thought part of the Christian duty is that you own the Bible, you went to church on a Sunday, and sometime you'd say your prayers before you sleep. That's what I knew growing up, that you just prayed. Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I die before I awake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Amen. Bye. You know, prayers that just repeated, and I'm not saying that some of these prayers can't have any heart in it, but many a times prayers are addressed to God in such a way like God's not there and God's not your father. And when you pray to God, do you talk to God like he's your father? In times when you're sitting alone, do you say, "How you doing, Dad?" And I'm not saying being in such a way where it's blasphemy, but the Bible's very specific. Crying, "Abba, Father, you know, Father, this is what I went through today, and this is what's taken place in my life today, and I'm just coming as a son, because you said I can come as a son. I don't have to come as a servant anymore. I could come as a son through Christ." Now, that's a blessing. And that's a wonderful thing, and a relationship that could be bonded together, but it's only through Christ. I want to ask you a question. Have you received Christ as your own personal Savior? Because through him is a relationship that can be restored with God the Father. And there's a communication between you and God. So when he says, when you pray, say, "Our Father." Our Father. Addressing God in heaven. But not only our position in Christ that we have, if anyone that is in Christ would have their heavenly Father to be their own Father, but I want you to see our promises in Christ. In Luke chapter 11, verse 11, I want you to notice a few things there. Note what the Bible says. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a what? Father. Will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him? If he ask a fish, will he give for a fish? Will he give him a serpent? Or if you ask for an egg, will you offer him a scorpion? By the way, let me just stop and say this: these are good things. Okay, when it's not talking about chocolate or lolly or anything like that. Okay, I'm very sensitive to that, because I know if my son kept asking me for sweets, I'll probably say no. Amen. But these are good things here. These are bread and fish and egg. Amen? These are good things that sustain the body. These are good things for your health. And I don't think any father here would say, "No, son, I'm not going to give you that egg. I'm not going to give you that bread. I'm not going to give you that fish." It's a wonderful thing when I just watch Elisha eating. I don't know why. I just love to see him eat. Love him seeing a time when he was probably about 8 months old. He would eat and he would close his eyes while he's eating, thinking, "That's it, son, enjoy your food." Amen. Praise God for that. Say that in my heart. Oh, it's a wonderful thing for a father to see. And sometimes it's tempting to give him that sweet stuff. You know what I'm saying? Because you just want to see him happy. But what I'm trying to say here is this. Notice the next verse. How much more shall your heavenly Father give, you, me, being sinful, being evil, know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more God in heaven? Sometimes we misclaim the promises of God. You know, this view at times that we get that God is just like a grandfather up there in his rocking chair just waiting to pound on us. No, God is a loving father up there sitting in heaven waiting to bless you and give you what you need, by the way, not what you want. He's a good father. And a father would give us what we need. This is why the model prayer was put in place. Because he would, in this model prayer, would communicate to us what to pray for. Our daily bread, restoration with others, forgiveness, to be delivered from temptation, and so on. This is specific prayers that God will answer if we pray them. And there's no doubt God wants to bless us. Your Heavenly Father, note it, wants the best for you. He doesn't want to hurt you. He doesn't want to tease you. He wants the best for you. And he knows the best for you. God will not give you anything that will hurt you. God will not give you anything that you pray for that He won't think it's best for you. He won't give you anything that He would think it's not the right time. It may be good and it may not hurt you, but right now it's just not the right time. There was a man who was widely known for the use of his amens. And at one occasion he was asked by a friend, he goes to his friend, he says, "What do you mean by the term amen?" He says, "In most cases it means just this to me, yes Lord, I'm with it and I will stand by my share of the expense." And so his friend goes on, he goes, "So what do you mean by your amen at the end of your prayers?" And he answered and he said, "Well, I say amen at my prayers and I mean just this, God, I'm working with you that this may be true, but I'm willing to receive any one of the three replies, yes, no, not now." And that's a wonderful prayer to pray, amen? We say, "Amen, Father, your will, but not my will, but your will be done." God is a God that will answer our prayers according to His will for your good and for His glory. However, if it is the right time, and if it is the right thing for you, and it is what God's best for your life, He won't hold it. He won't withhold it from you. He'll give it to you. Notice what the psalmist said. He says, "For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly." Amen. Those that walk uprightly, those that are in tune with God's will and praying what God had taught them to pray. I know a father, if he's a good father, won't give anything to their son that will be a hurt to them. Won't give anything to their son that would be a stumbling block to them. But rather will be giving them what they need for that particular time. Amen. And so it is. Look at much more with our Heavenly Father. I'm a father, and I know how to give good gifts to my children. How much more, God? What a wonderful thing that God says that we can say, "Oh, Father," when we pray. Amen. But then it says, "Which are in heaven," which are in heaven. When we look at this scripture, we see that God is a living God. God is spirit and He dwells in heaven. Turn to Acts chapter 7, if you would. Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, beginning from verse 48. Notice what the Bible says there. "Howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, saith the prophet. Heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. What house will ye build me, saith the Lord? Or what is my place of rest? Have not my hand made all these things?" Can you imagine the created hands which God made trying to make a divine being? Like, honestly, seriously, God that created these hands and man trying to carve God or paint God. It's absurd. It's blasphemy to think that God will dwell in a statue or in a painted picture by someone that wanted to make a dollar. No, we have a God that is in heaven and doesn't dwell with silver or gold or little things like this. But we have a living God, the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of the living, not the dead. I want you to turn to Psalm 115, if you would. Psalm 115. Notice what the Bible says there in Psalm 115, beginning from verse 1. "Aren't you glad that we have a God that we can address in heaven and He's a living God? We don't have a God that cannot move, cannot walk or talk." Note what the Bible says there in Psalm 115, verse 1. "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto Thy name give glory for Thy mercy and for Thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in heaven," in the heavens. "He hath done whatsoever it pleased." Amen. "Their idols," note it now, "their idols are silver and gold. the works of man's hands. They have a mouth, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they. I like how they put this one together. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them alike unto them, so is everyone that trusteth in them. And if you look toward it, you think that you'd become dumb. But we don't have a God that is dumb. Amen? We have a God, our Father, which is in heaven and abides in heaven. He said to the woman at the well, Jesus said, the hour is coming and now is come when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. So we come to God and we say, oh, Father, who are in heaven. And then we praise his name. Hallowed be thy name. The word hallowed means to render or to pronounce holy. He's a God that is set apart from all other gods with a small g. We do not have only a heavenly Father, but we have a holy Father. Amen. So we have a holy Father. Notice what the psalmist said. He said, Psalm 111 verse 9, he sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverent is his name. This prayer not only addressed to the Father, but also starts by praising him. Mary goes on to say in Luke 1:46, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And Hannah had a prayer just like that. She said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord, my horn is exalted in the Lord, my mouth is enlarged over my enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. He's set apart. He's hallowed. He's pronounced holy, and he's different, and he's righteous, and he's just, and he's good, and he's loving. And this is who our God is. We address him and we praise him. We come to God saying, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We come with praise. It's a good thing to praise the Lord when you start praying, amen? Praising God for who he is. I've got to remind myself many a times, not only praising God for what I can get and saying, God, thank you for my bread, and thank you for this, and thank you for my salvation, and thank you for my family, and thank you for your protection, and thank you for all these things. But it's a good thing to come before the Lord and saying, God, thank you for you. I love you. Amen. Thank you for you being you. You're holy, you're just, you're righteous, you're good to me. You care for my soul. You're not going to give me anything that you think is not good for me. You're just a good God. Oh, it's a good thing to say that to him, amen? Amen. I praise you and hallowed be your name. There's none other name like you. You're a holy God and I love you. But if you and I are to approach a holy God, then we must be holy in our approach. The psalmist said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. If we're approaching a holy God, we need to say, God, you're holy, and I want you to search me. If there be any wicked way in me, Moses stood on holy ground because he was with a holy God. I want to make sure that I say, Lord, I just don't want sin to get in the way. I just want to make sure that I'm right with you. I'm not tampering with things that will defile me. I just want to make sure that I'm addressing God who is holy, but I need to be holy myself. I heard a man of God once say, our God is a holy God. He's a holy God, and prayer is the vehicle that has given us the approach to him. Indeed, prayer offered by a Christian harboring sin is similar to a plane without wings, a car without wheels, a boat without a rudder. Make no mistake about it, God wants to hear our prayer and He wants to bless us. But if we come blatant and disrespectful for His commands, God will quickly stop His ear. So we come before a holy God, but we need to come with a holy manner. The Bible says in Proverbs 15:8, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is His delight. Which leads us to the next point, not only in His presence, but note it, but also for His pleasure. If you look at Luke chapter 2, thy kingdom, chapter 11 verse 2, thy kingdom come. Barnes mentions the word kingdom here is to reign. The petition is the expression of a wish that God may reign everywhere, that His laws may be obeyed, and especially that the gospel of Christ may be advanced everywhere until the world shall be fulfilled with His glory. The Bible says in Mark chapter 1, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. In Revelation 22, verse 7, the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him hear, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that thirsteth come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. And the Bible says there in Revelation 22, verse 20, he which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. The prayer, what God was saying is this, I want God's kingdom to come. Amen. And the way that we have that prayer to be prayed is when we pray for souls. If we want God's kingdom to come, we need to be praying for souls to be saved. Amen. We need to go out there and praying and say, God, Paul the Apostle prayed for Israel. He said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God is for Israel that they may be saved. In 1 Timothy, he encourages him and he says, I exhort thee therefore, first of all, supplications and prayers and intercessions and giving thanks be made for all men. In verse 4, who have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth and maybe perhaps should come before God. And in some time in your prayer, you have a prayer list on your heart. And you can remember those people that are not saved that you think perhaps don't know the Lord and that you have that engraved list on your heart. Wow. Lord, I want to pray for such and such family member. Lord, I want to pray for my work colleague. Lord, I want to pray for my uni friends. Lord, I want to pray for my friends. I want to pray for those that are lost, Lord, that I know of. I want to pray for those that are contemplating. I pray that God is hearing our prayers. Last week, I thank God for it. We've been praying for a man time and time again. And he's heard the word and God's been working in his life. And as we've been praying, God answered in a very special way. It was a morning service and the message had been preached and he had made his way and then God made it rain, causing that man to come back to the evening service, meaning he can't work on a rainy day. And so he came, he heard the word, and God allowed him to cross paths with a man that had a similar testimony. And this is what we've been praying for. He walks out of the church building here. I said, what's wrong? What are you doing? He's just crying. He goes, I think I'm saved. I said, well, praise the Lord, what happened? He goes, I don't know, but I feel light. I said, that's the burden lifted, brother. That's the burden lifted, amen? And it's a wonderful thing to be praying for souls and praying for loved ones and praying for those that are hurting, praying for those that are lost, praying for those. And I pray that you'd have a prayer list engraved on your heart. But also, I want to pray that God will use me to win souls, amen? That I'll be the channel of blessing that God would allow me to become all things to all men, that I'd be an answer to prayer for someone's life. The Bible says in Matthew 9:38, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he send forth laborers into his harvest. A good prayer would say, Lord, burden my heart for sinners. Lord, make me a light for someone. Lord, help me be a salt and a good tasty Christian to bring an appetite to someone's life. Amen. It's a wonderful thing when someone can look at your life and know you as a friend and see the peace and the joy that you have. And the only explanation that you can get, no matter what happens in your life, is the fact that you know Jesus. And they point a finger in your life and says, I want what they have and I need what they have and I want to spend time knowing what they know. It's a wonderful thing. I was spending some time with a friend until one day he asked me the question. He said, Charlie, if you happen to die today, do you know where you're going to spend eternity? Whoa, I really haven't had anyone ask me that question in 24 years of my life. He loved me enough to ask me, and I thank God he did. And it was not only the testimony which he showed me on the internet about a prison inmate being saved, and not only the word of God which had revealed to me in a very great way that made an impact in my life, but I looked at his life and I said, hang on a minute, in my heart, weren't you the man that went out with me and we drunk together and went out partying together? Weren't you the man that we did so shameful things together? And look how he's talking. That blew me away. I thought, man, there's something going on in this person's life. He's talking about Jesus. I mean, something must have happened to him. You know, I know who he was and how he lived. And now he's talking to me about Jesus. What a wonderful thing that is. And maybe you'd say, Lord, make me a salty Christian. Pray, thy kingdom come. Help me to reach people and with the gospel. But also pray to seek his will. Notice what the Bible says. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. In heaven, there is no room for rebels. Remember what Lucifer was cast down to hell. The Bible says there in 2 Peter 2:4, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. God, as there's no room for rebels in heaven, that you won't tolerate sin, may God help us to live here on earth as it is in heaven, amen? That we'd live to your standard of your righteousness, of your word, and that we'll keep your commandments, and as Christians would be a people that would be changed into the image of Christ. We know that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. However, once a person comes to know Christ as his Savior, the working of the Holy Spirit begins to change them and mold them and make them into the Holy One of God, Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Romans 8, verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Jesus said, as I will, but not as I will, but as thou will. And 1 Thessalonians 4:3 says, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification. We need to be set apart here on earth. Amen. Say, Lord, we need to be holy just as you're holy. Please turn with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, beginning from verse 1. Notice what the Bible says there. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Note this word. Holy, holy, acceptable unto God. We understand this to be true. If there is a sacrifice that is acceptable unto God, that means there is a sacrifice that's not acceptable to God. We say, God, I want you to be making me holy just like you're holy. That I'll be a sweet-smelling savor to your nostrils. That I'll be holy just as you are, acceptable unto you. Note it, which is your reasonable service. We're talking about it yesterday as we were fellowshipping about the newfound faith as a man had just trusted Christ. I said, your mind and your heart toward the things of God change in an instant. But your life is a continual change of sanctification and growing in Christ. And you know what? It's just our reasonable service. Letting go to things that we were hanging on to that were wrong in God's eyes is reasonable. Really, it's not a sacrifice. Sometimes we find the things that we once were holding on to that were wrong in God's eyes to be such a great sacrifice when God says, no, it's just reasonable. Just let it go. It's just our reasonable service. We can never ever, please don't miss this, we can never ever, ever pay God or repay God for what he's done for us on the cross. But the least that we can do, the least that we can do as blood-bought Christians, purchased, prized possessions of God, his peculiar people, say, God, as I stand redeemed, I want to live like a Christian, and I want you to make me. I have nothing to offer. You've saved me. You've given me all things in Christ. I'm a child of God. I'm royalty. And the least I could do, and my reasonable service it is to lay my life for your glory. I don't want my will anymore, dear God. I want your will as it is in heaven. I want to live your way. I want to know what's right. And he goes on to say, but be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the only way God could get that junk out of your mind, and the only way that God could get the junk out of my mind once we're saved, is by the washing of the word. When we're in the word of God and we see God's heart, we see God's mind, and we say, God, I want to be like this. I know it's hard. I know it's going to be a struggle, but I want to be. I want a desire to live like you and do what you want me to do. And as I said, no command that God ever gives, he will give the power to fulfill it. Absolutely. Sometimes we read the Bible and say, well, that's too much, it's too hard. But with God's command, as a Christian, becomes God's enabling in a Christian's life. You're not on your own. That same man said to me, it's so much easier now. Amen. It was harder before. I just couldn't let go of the things because you were a slave to it. But now that Jesus lives in you, the Holy Spirit of God wants to work in you, and he helps you do the things that you don't want to do. And then he helps you do the things that God wants you to do. See, in the process of the Christian life, you can grieve the Spirit of God. Grieving the Spirit of God is doing the things that God doesn't want you to do. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is the use of edifying, that you may minister grace to the hearers. And grieve not the Spirit of God, whereby you were sealed unto the day of redemption. But the Bible also says, do not quench the Spirit of God. There are the things that God wants us to do. So there are things that God doesn't want us to do, and there are things that God wants us to do. He lays something on our hearts for us to do, and we say, oh Lord, okay, I'll do that, but just not right now. I just don't want to leave this right now. And God says, no, I want you to do it. And when we don't obey the voice of God, we quench the Spirit. Because the Spirit of God is fervent. It's like a boiling, you know, the hot water boils. And it boils, and it's fervent in our life. It wants to work, and he wants us to do great and mighty things that thou knowest not. But we can, like if it were, quench the Spirit, get a cold bucket of water, and go, psh, on what God wants to do in our life. But may God help us say, no, Lord, I don't want to quench your working. I want to renew my mind. I want to be conformed to the image of Christ. I do not want to be conformed to the image of the world. Renewing your mind is to spend time in God's word, to seek what pleases God. He goes on to say, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable, again, good and acceptable, perfect will of God. Not my will, Lord, but thine be done. And the only way that you and I are going to know God's will, if we're going to pray for God's will to be done, is to be in God's word, renewing our mind. Amen? Not my will, Lord, but thine be done. I want to know you're good. I want to know you're acceptable. I want to know your perfect will for my life. Thy will be done. Many a times we get it mixed up. Many Christians live their life like, Lord, thy will be done in heaven as it is on earth. Lord, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. No. But many a times that's what takes place. Christians in our lives today are trying to conform God to their ways. Look at some churches today. They want to bring God to their standards of worship. Friend, the Bible says worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. You say, well, how does that look like? And how does that sound like? Well, getting in a relationship with God, and he'll tell you. Get in a relationship with God and get in His Word, and He'll let you know how that sounds like and what's good and what's no good. He'll let you know when you renew your thinking and you see the perspective from God's point of view. But please turn to 1 Peter, if you would, chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, Lord, I want your will to be done in my life here on earth as it is in heaven. What a wonderful prayer to pray. Lord, I'm really going to give up anything that you don't want me to do by your grace and by your power. And there's some things in my life that you do want me to do. Oh, dear God, I want to bring those in by your power. I need your help. Notice what the Bible says, verse 13. 1 Peter 1, verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ as what? As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. That word there is lifestyle, because it is written, be ye holy as He is holy. I don't want you to be disobedient children, fashioning yourselves according to the ways of the world or the fashions of the world, which you once had, and the lust of your mind, and the lust of the eyes, and the lust of the flesh. No, I want you to come and I want you to be holy as I am holy. That's my will for your lives. To be holy is to be separated from something to something. Separation, set apart for a purpose. It doesn't just mean, okay, I'm going to leave these things, but now it means I'm going to cleave to the Lord. And God wants to do that in your life. He wants His will to be done in your life. He wants you to be holy and change into the image of Christ. I think that's the sweet part about being a Christian. I think what frustrates the Christian today is when they start leaving things and they're not conformed and getting closer to God's heart. They spend their times trying to leave all these different things that they know they ought not to do, but they don't spend time trying to work on their relationship with God. And if you want to continue to maintain this holiness, you need to resort to God and talk to God and walk with God and call Him your Father and spend time with God and His Word. Be ye holy in all manner of conversation, in all your life and lifestyle. One last verse, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. We're going to look at this tonight, but I'm going to close with this verse this morning. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, but seek ye first, note it, the kingdom of God. Thy kingdom come. Amen. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness, thy will be done. Isn't it beautiful, that verse, how it's just put together? That God wants us to live out what we pray. Amen. Seek ye first, top of the list, number one, first, the kingdom of God. By the way, let me say this, being saved is your greatest need here on earth, amen. Knowing Christ as your Savior will be your greatest need. Seeking first the kingdom of God, thy kingdom come, and then thy will be done, his righteousness. Christian, let me encourage you, don't stop there. Don't stop at your salvation. Many Christians stop at their salvation, but listen, there is more to salvation than just this escape from hell. There's more than that. Christian life is a life of abundance with Jesus. Don't leave out the internal matters to seek those pleasures of this world. And I'm just not talking about the providential things. We're going to look at that tonight. Praise God. He tells us to pray for our daily bread. Amen. But if we seek first the kingdom of God, and if we say, God, thy kingdom come and thy will be done, everything else will just fall into place. What a beautiful thing that is. Did you get that? Everything else will just fall into place. God will take care of us. Many can testify here today that God has been so good. Amen. Many can testify here today, even when we weren't faithful, God has been faithful. Well, that's the Father that He is. He loves you and He wants God's best for you. And don't settle for second best, my friend. Don't settle for the crumbs of God's blessing. Settle for the whole thing that God wants to give you. And you're going to be missing out. It's a wonderful thing to have God's will fulfilled in your life. It's a wonderful thing to live as an obedient child of God. It's a wonderful thing to have the Lord not only to be your Savior, but the Lord of your life. It's wonderful. And I pray that will be your prayer today. Oh, Father, the one that is in heaven, I pray that thy kingdom come. If I'm not saved, dear God, I pray today I'll make a decision to get right with you through Jesus Christ. And Lord, if I am, I pray that I could be a channel of blessing to reach someone out there and thy will be done. Lord, I pray that I could be changed into the image of my Savior. It's my reasonable service. I don't get a pat on the back. Being changed into Christ is a reward in itself. What a wonderful peace and joy that a Christian can get just by walking with Jesus, talking with Jesus, and allowing Jesus to change them, all of them. It's a wonderful thing. May God help you this morning to pray with all your heart, Father, which is in heaven, hallowed be your name, praise you, dear God. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And knowing what that is in a detailed sense in your life. May God bless you and give you the grace to fulfill His will for His glory in your life.